Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning the Lui Nishmasa and the Zecher Nishmasa, Miriam Fuld, Miriam Baschaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom, may the Neshama have an Aliyah, a continuous Aliyah in the merit of this Torah learning. So I will tell you that tomorrow evening, Thursday night to Friday, Arab Shabbos Kodesh, which corresponds to 26 Cheshvan, is the Yurtzeit of Miriam Baschaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom, Miriam Fuld's Yurtzeit. I heard Rabbi Penner say, at the Yeshivas program a number of years ago, that the neshama goes through a process after the patira. During the shiva period, it's there. The neshama remains in the home, so to speak. And then for the 30 days, it's a little bit farther. And then during the first year, a little bit farther. And then in a sense, to the Olam HaEmes. And it comes back every year on the Yurtzeit to see what's doing. Down here, the Zecher Nishmaso, or the Zecher Nishmasa. So tomorrow night is Miriam Fron's Yurtzeit. So I hope very much that this shir brings Nachas Ruach to her neshama from her place in the Yeshiva Shalmawa, and that she continues to storm Shamayim for Besuros Tovos, not only for her family, but all of us and all of Klal Yisrael who continue to learn in her memory and in her merit. In the same shir, Rabbi Penner said something that was so simple and so profound that made such a huge impact on me. I never considered it before until I heard him say it. And when we say that somebody died, it's relevant to this week's parsha, it's Parshas Chayisara, even though it says Vatama Sar Bekiryas Arbehi Chavron. When we say that somebody passed away, what we say is that they're Niftar. She was Niftaris, it's her Yurtzeit. She was Niftaris on this date. So my parent pointed out the most simple thing that never dawned on me. The root word of Niftar or Niftaris is Potter. That's all it means. And you say that the person has been nifter and nifteris, they're now potter min mitzvos. They can no longer amass chusim, they're absolved, they're free, they're not chayev. If there's a neshama b'li guf, they can't fulfill the mitzvos. So the way that we bring chusim to that memory, to that mirror, to that neshama, is to do with them in mind. We can do for that neshama that is now potter, because that guf is no longer part of olam hazeh. And it's very profound. So when we say that we learn Zecher Nishmasa and Lilui Nishmasa, it truly is a Zecher Nishmasa and Lilui Nishmasa on the occasion of our Yurtzeit tomorrow evening. May the neshama of Miriam Baschaim Yitzchak merit a continuous aliyah on the schus of the Torah learning that we share. So we are on page 229, okay, of the second Sefer. It's a fascinating concept, and for those of you who learn with me, you know I try and focus on Shurashim and Lashon HaKodesh, and it never dawned on me. All Nifter means, and all Nifteris means, is your potter from mitzvahs. So we can do for that neshama. It's tremendously and incredibly powerful. And something empowering to keep in mind. And it's important to keep in mind, when we dedicate a shir, Le'ilui Nishmas, or Le'zecher Nishmas, you really are dedicating it in the merit of that neshama who can no longer amass credits for themselves. Okay, we're on page 229 of the second Sefer. And we're talking about everything. Last time we said that everything that we do in Gashmias, if we have Ruchnias intentions, everything we do while we're involved in this world, if we have intentions to elevate it to a higher spiritual realm, then really what you're doing that looks like Gashmis is Ruchnias. Okay, so I'm just going to read the last paragraph that we said last time, and we're not going to share the same insights. Being in a world of Ruchnias, being in a world of spirituality, does not mean you should fast all week. We don't believe in abstinence. In other religions, the holier the person, they don't get married, because marriage represents a physical, not only a spiritual relationship. We do not believe in fasting all week. We do not mean absolving ourselves, entirely cutting ourselves off from this world. Nevertheless, your mind and heart must be attached to the Creator and to Ruchnius. So no matter what you're doing in Gashmius, your heart and mind should be attached to the Creator. When you live this way, there will be no fundamental difference between when you're involved in Ruchnius and when you are involved in Gashmius. Why? Because really whatever you're doing is elevated to a higher purpose. Even if it looks like a mundane task, it's elevated to a higher purpose. The only difference will be as to what the body is actually doing. But the soul is attached to the spiritual realm. So no matter what a person is doing, if they have the right kavana, the right intention, when you prepare dinner for your family. I behold, I'm prepared and I'm ready. I'm taking upon myself the mitzvah of guarding your soul when you go to the doctor. Whatever it is, if it looks like something physical, if you're connected to the spiritual side of yourself, and that physical act becomes spiritual. So Esther Edelman, in response to a totally different shiur, shared a beautiful verse with me. It relates exactly to what we are learning, so I saved it in my inbox to share with you this week. I didn't tell it over in any other shiur. It's taka, very appropriate for this shiur. So it's on a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Yud Dalid, pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, Perek Yud Dalid in Sefer Bereishis, chapter 14, is the war, what I call the First World War in world history, at least as is recorded in the Torah HaKadosha. We have the war of the four kings and the five kings. Avram goes to battle, and even though he's Avram Avinu, and how much of a warrior is he is successful on battle. We're going to talk about Lot. Lot, back in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, even though Anshei Sodom Ra'im V'chata'im LaHashem, even though the people of Sodom were wicked and sinners with their bodies and their money to God very much, Lot chose to live, Avram's nephew, Lot chose to live in this corrupt place of Sodom. When we are told about Lot again, who was captured in battle, the Pasuk says in Perek Yud, wait, I forgot to ask you, could you see my screen? Oh, what would a shir be if I didn't say, could you see my screen? Okay. So, Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Yudbis. So, the Pasuk says, Vayichu es Lot, they take Lot, the es Rechusho, and his possessions, so whatever possessions he amassed, he was captured in battle, and they take Lot, and they take his possessions. Who's Lot? Ben Achi Avram. He is the son of the brother of Avram. His father Haran died, and Avram, his uncle, adopted him, so to speak. Vayichu, and they went, Vuhu Yoshev Bestom. And he was sitting in Sodom. If anyone's following my Torah Imecha OU Parsha weekly podcast, I spoke about this pasuk a couple of weeks ago. Okay, but we're going to focus tonight not on the end of the pasuk, which I focused on in that year, Vehu Yoshev Bestom. We're going to focus on the beginning of the pasuk. Vayichu es Lot, the es Rechusho, ben Achi Avram, Vayichu. This is a strange pasuk. Till Esther Edelman emailed me this vart, I never considered it before. Look at the language of the verse. Vayichu es Lot, they take Lot, the es Rechusho and his possessions, ben Achi Avram, the son of the brother of Avram. What's out of place? The pasuk should say Vayichu es Lot, and they take Lot, ben Achi Avram. If you want to give me his yichu, so tell me, they took Lot. Lot is the nephew of Avram, and they take his possessions and they go. It doesn't say that. It says, and they took Lot and his possessions, almost like parenthetically. He is the nephew of Avram, because Haran, his father, died. Haran and Avram were brothers. So it's very strange. So Esther Edelman wrote, okay, I'm just going to read it so I make sure I say it correctly. I'm looking on my phone. It's on airplane mode. Don't worry, it's my recorder. I just called it up on my screen before I started cheer. So she says she does not remember who said it. She doesn't remember who said this word over, but the words Va'es Rechusho right here seem to be misplaced. You don't say, and they took Lot and his possessions. He's the son of the brother of Avram. That grammatically doesn't make a lot of sense. And they took Lot, who was the son of Avram's brother, and his possessions. However, why does it identify Lot and then his possessions and only then his yichus as related to Avram Avinu? Once he lived in Sodom, where he moved in Perek Yud Gimel, the materialism, the rechush, the physicality, the sinful ways of Sodom, their focus on fulfilling bodily needs, what do they want to do to the men who come? They want to have their way with the men. Rashi says, Mishkav Zachar and Perek Yates, when the angels, come to the house of Lot and the people of the town from young to old converge upon the house. They are so involved in a life of being purely physical. They are the B'nai Basar, tying a few weeks together. Once Lot lived in Sodom, it was the materialism, the rechush. It became so part of who he was. It became part of his essence, and therefore it appears after his name, even before mentioning he's Avram's nephew. So it's telling you the possessions became Lot. Vayichu es Lot, and they take Lot. Who is Lot? How does Lot define himself after he moved into a town where the people are wicked and sinful with their bodies and their money? Both Rashi and Unklus to Bereishis Yud Gimel Yud Gimel. Who is Lot? This is in parenthetical. Rechusho, his possessions. His possessions have become part of who he is, and that is of primary importance, and it is now secondary to the fact that he is Yichus to Avram. You would think that's his claim to fame. Don't you want to be identified as the nephew of the Adam Gadol, the Amud HaOlam, the Rambam calls him, the one who discovered God, the one who brings Kedusha to this world? No, Lot became so enmeshed in the Rechush, it means possessions, in the materiality, in the gashmias, in the sinful ways of Sodom, that defined him. The yichu es Lot, and they took Lot, the es rechusha. Lot is now defined by his possessions. Parenthetically, you should know he had some yichus, he had some relation. He's family with Avram. That's my mishpacha. But more important, Lot is a man whose possessions define him. And I think it's a tremendous pshat. And when Esther sent me this email, I wrote back, I love this, and I saved it in my inbox for a week, because that's for the shir, and that's what we've been speaking about. Are we the B'nai Basar? Are we people who are so attached, chas v'sham, to our possessions, that we forget our yichus? We're all the B'nai Avram and Sarah. We all come from heilig family. We all come from tremendous yichus. And we have to make sure that the possessions do not get in the way of us remembering exactly who we are and what our purpose here is. And those possessions are only meant to help us reach our goal of Kedusha and Tahara, of Ruchnias. The possessions are meant to help us reach our goal of purity, of holiness, of spirituality as we connect to God. But if the possessions become a goal in and of itself, and we risk becoming chas v'sham like Lot. And I don't know if anyone else remembers, but many years ago in this Sefer we learned, it was one of the most profound statements in this Sefer to me. Inside, I don't remember which page it's on. Esther Sassoon, I don't know if you could go back to so many hundreds of pages, Kanainahar, that we have covered. But we learned that inside every person is every biblical personality. We learned that in this Sefer. It was years ago. Inside every person is every biblical personality. I have no idea which page it's on. But that means we all have an Avram inside of us who wants to cling to God, and Avram became Avraham, and we also have a Lot inside of us. And there's a constant battle between this drive to be holier in spirituality, ruchnius, and the battle that pulls us down, that attaches us so much to our material possessions, that makes that so a part of us. And there's a struggle, because inside every person is every biblical personality. So you should not write off any biblical personality. We all have the Yetzer Tov of Avram and the Yetzer Hara of Lo. We all have the ruchnius, the spirituality of Ram, and the gashmius, the materiality of Lo. We all have the humility of Moshe and the gaiva of Paro, the anivus, humility of Moshe, and the self-centeredness of a Paro. We all have the evil eye, the narrow stinginess of eye of a Bilam. And we all have the shalom and the love of humanity of Aaron HaKohen. And man is made up of a paradox of all of these emotions. That means Lot, in some sense, resides inside each one of us. So don't write him off. He's here. Kol ma she'ir la'avosim le'banim. Sefer Bereishis is a blueprint for how we live. And that's exactly what the Mechaber, the author, is telling us here. You can make your gashmius ruchnius with the right intentions, or look at Lot, the es rechusho. He is now defined by his possessions. Who cares about the yichus to Avram? That's secondary. That doesn't matter. You know who I am? I'm a man of possession. And it's something very powerful to keep in mind. One second. That's right, Nancy. The right kavana changes everything for the better. Sometimes we have to overcome a big gates of heart to have the right kavana. It's a task. It's something I think that we're all working on. I think that this year, over this past six, seven years, Kanainahar has changed my life. Mom has changed my life. The way I see everything in the world, the way I see everything that I do in this world, that I connect to Ribono Shel Olam in this world. It's totally changed my life. And it's a constant avoda to make sure that we're having the right kavana in everything that we're doing. Moving on. Bottom paragraph. I thought it was a tremendous word. It's parak yud dalid pasuk yud beis. Okay. Page 229. A human being is a composite of body and soul. We know that. Bereishis 2:7. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam, afar min ha'adama, vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, vayiadam l'nefesh chaya. Hashem Elokim fashioned man. What is man? Afar min ha'adama. That is the body aspect of myself, the gashmis, physicality, rechush aspect of myself. dust from the earth. However, vayipach ba pavnish maschaim, he blew into our nostrils the soul of life. That is the elevated, kedusha-filled, holy spirituality, ruchnius part of myself. That's the ben achi Avram. So it's a constant battle. Am I defined by kol rechusho or ben achi Avram? A human being is a composite of body and soul. At first, only the body is apparent. Later on, the soul begins to make its appearance. When a child is born, everything is about his physical needs. We're not blaming the child, chas v'shalom. A baby needs his physical needs to be filled. He's not bar mitzvah. He's not aware of his chiyuv b'mitzvos. He's not even at the age of chinuch. He needs to be fed. He needs to be changed. He needs to be burped. He needs fresh air. He needs to be swaddled. He needs to be rocked. The whole life is one of taking care of physical needs. At first, only the body is apparent. Later, the soul begins to make its appearance. You hope. We hope. I hope. But I am a person who allows my soul to make its appearance, because you don't want to be that person who the body's needs are always squelching the needs of the soul. From then on, there are constant fluctuations in either direction. And that's what you see in that pasuk. Vayikach es Lot, ve'es kol rechusho ben achi Avram. Are we defined by our rechush, or are we defined by our yichus? Are we defined by connection to Avram, spirituality, recognizing God, being makarev other people, doing l'shem shemayim? Or am I defined by how much I own, and how much I have, and how much I want, and how much I need? What am I taking with me to the next world? Nothing. Except Torah and Maisim Tovim. So at first, only the body is apparent. Only later, the soul begins to make its appearance. However, it's a constant struggle. From then on, there are constant fluctuations. I used to, as a child, play piano. What's it called? A metronome? It was a long time ago, yeah? So you think, or this week's parasha is the Shalshalas. Okay? The Shalshalas represents, it's a trop. I'm not going to do it for you. If you want to know what it sounds like, ask about Korach. My son, who's Lanes, was here. I would ask him to do it for us. So for those of you who are not familiar, ask about Korach. Maybe you could probably Google it and find it out. It only occurs four times in the entire Torah. Parashas Chayisar, Perachov Dalet, Vayeshev Lamed Tes. I'm missing one. I missed last week's parasha. Perek Yud Tes, Lo Vayismama, Perek Chav Dalet, by Eliezer, Perek Lamed Zay, Lamed Tes, by Yosef, and Parshas Tzav, Book of Vayikra. Perek Tes, I believe. Perek Zayin or Perek Tes? Vayikra Tzav, Shmini. Perek Zayin. Perek Tes is already Parshas Shmini. So the Shalshalas represents many things. So it's a trop, it's a cantillation note that only appears four times in the whole Torah. And it looks like the pattern of a metronome, if you will excuse me. It goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it represents the fluctuations in a human being. Lot, vayismama, and he delayed, vayitzu anashim, and they take his hand. Lot's not sure, do I want to leave Sodom? Do I want to leave Sodom? Maybe I don't want to leave Sodom. Do I want to leave Sodom? Maybe I'm not so sure. I really like it here, but I gotta go. I don't want to go. I have to go. Eliezer, he says to God, Hakreina lefanai, va'aseh chesedim adonim Avram, please prepare the right basheret, this week's parasha, parach of Dalet. But he also has fluctuations, Eliezer. Why? Because he wants his daughter to marry Avram's son. So please help me find the shidduch. I really want the shidduch for myself. Please help me on this mission. I really want it for myself. Natural fluctuations. Yosef, vayimain. I really want to be with this woman, but I know I can't be with this woman, but I really want to be with her. It's a natural fluctuation of the Yetzer Hara that's inside every single person. So yes, in the beginning, only the body is apparent. The baby's diaper has to be changed, the baby needs to be fed, the baby needs a walk, the baby needs a bath, the baby needs its nails cut, the baby needs a pacifier. Later, the soul begins to make an appearance. But don't think just because your soul has made an appearance that it's free sailing. Oh, now the gashmistic side of myself is going to leave me alone. No, it's still there. It's gezint, it's geschmack, it grows as you grow. And he's still there. Only later the soul begins to make an appearance, but from then on there are constant fluctuations, as illustrated by the Shalshalas. So I didn't comment on Tzav, Perek Zayin of Vayikra, and Moshe's fluctuations. What kind of fluctuations did Moshe have? So I could understand Lot. We understand he was a person of Rechush, doesn't want to leave Sodom. So he's, you know, on the fence. Should I go, shouldn't I go? Should I go, shouldn't I go? And we can understand how Eliezer, who's the trusty servant, Zakan Beso, Hamoshe, B'chol Asher Lo, Avram trusts him with everything. He wants to help Avram, but he wants a shidduch for himself. I want to help my master, I want a shidduch for myself. We know that Yosef wanted to be with her very, very badly. Rashi tells us that Beferish, it's quoting, I believe, Masecha Sota 39, I think, I could be wrong, that Yosef came to the house that day to do his work. Rav and Shmuel have a disagreement. One says he came to Mamish do his work in the house as the household help, and the other one says household baller. The other one said he came to sleep with Aisha's Potiphar. Excuse me. So I want to be with her, I shouldn't be with her. I want to be with her, I shouldn't be with her. So what does it have to do with Moshe? Since I mentioned the other three, Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Tzav, Vayishachat, the last time during the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, the 7 days of inauguration for the Mishkan, Moshe serves as the Kohen Gadol in his white tunic. And the last korban that he offers, Vayishachat, has a shalshal, 7:23 maybe in Vayikra, has a shalshalas over. Why? Because if you remember, I wasn't planning to talk about this tonight in Shir, it's not 7:23. I don't have a Vayikra in front of me right now. It's not 7:23. Okay, it doesn't matter. Let's go. Where am I? I mean, it does matter, but I don't have a vehicle downstairs. So, Vayishachat, the last korban that Moshe offers in his roles of a Kohen Gadol, you have the Shalshalas. Why? Because if you remember back from the burning bush, 4:14 in the book of Shemos, Hashem becomes angry. Vayichrav Hashem b'Moshe. Hashem becomes angry at Moshe. Why? Ayom, when he said, hello, Arna Chicha HaLevi, who Yotze the Kosecha V'ra'acha V'Semach B'Libo. Arn, your brother, the Levi, will come out and he will rejoice in his heart. Arn, the Levi, I thought Arn's the Kohen. So Rashi says there, Hashem became angry at Moshe because Moshe argued Kaviyacha with Hashem for 7 days at the burning bush. He didn't want to take his task. So Hashem said, okay, fine, you don't want leadership, you won't get leadership. You, Moshe, were supposed to be the Kohen. Arn was supposed to be the Levi, but now things are going to be switched around. Because you rejected the position of leadership, so I had to force you, Aaron will be the Kohen, you will be the Levi. So the last korban that he offers in his role as a Kohen, there's a little bit of that hesitation. If it would have been my job, but it's not my job. I should have been the Kohen, but I'm not the Kohen. But why I brought this up is because reading this with the Shalshalas in last week's Parsha Perikates Vayera, and this coming week's Parsha Chayei Sarah, reminds us of the natural constant fluctuation in either direction, even as one advances or as one regresses. And that's what life is. We hope we advance more than we regress, but we have to know it's a constant battle, and the Yetzer Hara is not prepared to leave us alone. So I listened to a very, very interesting shir, fascinating shir, that I'm going to share with you what I heard, because the final nakuda is going to relate to what we're speaking about today. It was a shir by Rabbi Sariel Malitsky. Rabbi Sariel Malitsky is a rabbi in New Jersey. Supposed to do a scholar in residence. We had the weekend book in Counting Towards Sinai in his shul in the spring between Shavuos and Pesach before COVID. Okay, so I listened to Shir of his own Mayu Torah, and it was fascinating. It was on a very unusual topic. It was on the topic of Birkas HaMazon. You know Birkas HaOreach and Birkas HaMazon? Is anyone even familiar with this bracha? After Al Yechasreinu, we have a lot of harachamans. We ask Hashem for a lot of things. He should rule over us as king forever. We're not going through all of them. We have Oreach Mivarech. In some benchers, you have a blessing that the guest says. What does the guest say? Yihi Ratzon Shelo. Some benchers have it, some benchers don't. Rabbi Malitsky said he did an experiment. All benchers up to the 1990s seem not to have it. Benchers from the mid to late 1990s and on start to have it. Today, many more benchers have it. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? The people I could see? Nod, yes or no? Some yes, some no. Okay, so some yes, some no. It's very interesting. So there's an oreach mivarech. Okay, the guest says a blessing in the set of harachamants after Al Yechasreinu, which is the final bracha, a Birkas HaMazon. Yihi Ratzon, to be your will, God, Shalom, Yevosh, Baal Bais, Baal Mazeh, Velo Yikaleim, Lo'olam, Abay, Shnaap, Yibers, the Baal Bais in this world. He should not have shame in the next world. V'yitzlach me'od b'chol nechasav, and he should be very successful in all of his possessions. V'yu nechasav u'nechaseinu mutzlachim, and his possessions and our possessions should be successful. U'krovim la'ir, and close to the city. You shouldn't have to travel far per panasa. You shouldn't meet bandits on the way if you have to travel far in the olden days. V'al yishlot satan, lo b'ma'aseh yadav, v'lo b'ma'aseh yadenu, the satan, a.k.a. the Yetzer Hara. the I don't know, Satan, Yetzer, you all know what that is, should not rule over the works of his hands, the host, or over the works of our hands. Va'al yizdakek lo lefanav v'lo lefaneinu shum devar hirhu cheva avera va'avon. And there shall not be a stumbling block, not before him and not before us, any matter of contemplation of three kinds of sins, ched, avera, avon, iniquity, and sin, for now and forever. So it was a 55-minute shiur. I'm not going to spend 55 minutes. I just put some nekudos that I'm going to share with you. It was extremely interesting. Why do some people say it? Why do some people don't say it? What's the source for this? Why is it some benchers and it's some not and some other benchers? Okay? There's, again, a reason I'm telling this, and it's not just stone because I found it fascinating. It's related to our shiur. First of all, the nusach is brought down in the Gemara. It's brought down in the Gemara. So how, over the years, this has become lost? Over the millennia, over the recent centuries, did this become lost? The Nusach is brought down in the Gemara. He spoke about the Brisker Rav. He spoke about Moshe Feinstein, who is Makbid to say it, who is not Makbid to say it. Okay, Bekitzer. Three reasons, three justifications of to why people do not say it. Okay, so Nancy, you wrote, you're not familiar with it. So he said something very interesting. Rabbi Malitsky said he looked in his wife's NCSY bat mitzvah bencher. His wife's NCSY bat mitzvah bencher, the standard NCSY classic bencher, does not have it. The NCSY bencher today does have it. So it has had a resurrection, if you will, this Birkas HaOreach, the blessing of the guest that the guest bestows upon the head of the household. Three justifications, he said, and he was quoting sources for everything that he said. I'm giving you a brief synopsis of a 55-minute shiur. Three reasons for not saying it. In the time, the first reason is, according to some, I think he quoted the Rambam, you can say a longer blessing, you could say a shorter blessing, you don't have to say that exact text, you just have to give the Baal HaBayis, the host, some sort of blessing. So in the Harachaman, Tarachum Levreches Avimor, Vis Imi Morasi, as Baal HaBayis is that, but as Baal HaBayis is that, as Kol Mesubinkan, may the merciful one bless my father, my teacher, my mother, my teacher, the master of this house, the mistress of this house, and everybody else eating at this table. That suffices. So you're Yotze. If you're at somebody's house and you say, Haracham Minivrecha Es Baal Bais Hazev Es Baal Sabais Hazev, you said a condensed version, a short version, you still give the Baal Bais a blessing. That's justification number one for why many people do not say this. Number two. This is very interesting. In the time of Chazal, remember the Nusach of this bracha is actually brought down in the Gemara. Benching stop by Ali Chasreinu. Amikol tuv lo olam Ali Chasreinu. From him is all good. Forever we should not lack. Benching was over. So Chazal needed to compose, the sages of blessed memory, needed to compose a standardized text of blessing to the host, Baal HaBayis. Because once you finish blessing and thanking God, it's natural and normal to give your host a blessing and a thank you. So the sages came up with a standardized text for how you bless the host of the meal. Today, since we have many harachamans, one of the harachamans is as Baal HaBayis Hazev, as Baal HaBayis Hazev. May the merciful one bless this, the master of this house and the mistress of this house, the hostess of this house. So you don't need the whole long text anymore. They stop by Ali Chasreinu. We don't stop by Ali Chasreinu anymore, unless your Ayakam Minag, which is stop by Ali Chasreinu, or he mentioned in his shir, which I know our rabbi, Rabbi Akiva Willig, also does. There are some people who on Shabbos do not go past Ali Chasreinu. I know our rabbi, Rabbi Akiva Willig, based Medrash Wilmir, does not go past Ali Chasreinu because it's all personal bakashos. And on Shabbos, you're not supposed to daven for personal requests. So they stop their benching by Ali Chasreinu. Bekitzer, reason number one was, I believe it was the Rambam, who says you could give a shorter blessing or a longer blessing. So if you don't want to go through the whole text, you could say, may the merciful one bless the Baal HaBayis and the Baal HaBayis and your Yotze. Number two, in the time of Chazal, when this blessing was instituted and composed, they stopped by Ali Chasreinu. So therefore, the sages came up with a standardized text that everyone should say after Birkas HaMazon to bless the host. Reason number three, very interesting. Reason number three, in the olden days, meaning in the time of the sages, in the time of the Gemara, not everyone benched like today. You know, give out the benchers? No. The Mizamein benched. The one who was honored with leading the grace after meals, is the only one who benched. Everyone, he said, sat quietly and listened, recited amen, and only one person benched. That one person represented everyone at the table. So he had the koach of a mivarech. He was granted, almost like a shliach tzibur, that's my words, not halachically, hashkafically. He was granted power from those he was benching on behalf of to give a blessing to the Baal HaBayis. In the times of the sages, one person benched. Today, we don't do that anymore. Everyone passes out the benchers. Everyone benches on their own, so nobody really has koach hamivarech. No one anymore has the power to give a blessing because you're not representing everyone at the table. It was an extremely fascinating shiur. I enjoy his shiur very much. Rabbi Surya Malitzki, if you ever want to try different topics, he spoke on Shabbos Mevarchim. I don't know if anybody remembers why you need Yiras Chet both before and after the beginning of Birkas HaChodesh and at the end. We spoke about it here a few months ago. Right. So he said, these are the three reasons why it's fallen out of Batis Vashalacha. Not for Shabbos was not said then. Malki, I'm not sure. There's too many typos in what you wrote. I'm sorry. I don't exactly know what you wrote. If you want to clarify. Okay. So, therefore, he said he's not saying it's right or wrong. He's giving three justifications, possible reasons, halachically, why it's fallen out of practice to say this Birkas HaOreich, even though today it's making a comeback. He said the exact same NCSY bencher from his wife's bat mitzvah to a few years ago. One doesn't have it, one does. That's exactly right. So it's interesting you just wrote that because my son told us the comment was some Sfardim still have one person bench for all. So my son, after he spent 2 years in Eretz Yisrael, and you know, you go to all different people, and he spent Shabbosos away, and he told us that when he was by certain Sfardim, I think it was up north, one person benches for everybody. So that person would have the Koach HaMivarech. They have a different Nesach benching. Anyways, I don't even know if they have this or not. I'm not sure. Okay, very interesting. So three reasons. One, you could say longer or shorter, so you don't have to say the whole thing. You're Yotze. Two, in the time of the sages, they stop by Ali Chasrein, and now that we've finished thanking Hashem, we have a standardized text for how we give a bracha to the host. Three, in the time of Chazal, one person benched. He had koach hamivarech, and therefore he had the power as the leader to give a host a blessing. Today, everyone benches, so no one has that power. He said two very, very interesting things. He was quoting all sources. Gedolim, later, Achronim, Mishonim, I don't remember if any quoted, but he said, is it Rav Elyashiv? It might have been, who said that, ready for this? Yeshiva boys in yeshiva should say the blessing, Berkas HaOreich, they should have in mind the donors to the yeshiva. Someone's paying for their food. There are donors to the yeshiva. I think it might have been Rav Elyashiv, but I think. It's definitely the share of Rabbi Israel Militsky. I don't remember all the sources. They should have in mind the donors, the person writing the check, he said, to the yeshiva. Those boys should say the Birkas HaOreich and have that person in mind, because who's paying for their food? Another halacha he quoted, this is so interesting, there are those who hold that children at their parents' table should make the Birkas HaOreich. Try this on your kids. Listen, you're just guests here. You're passing through. And children, I'm not making a joke. He said that there are some opinions that children at their parents' table should say this blessing. So it's extremely interesting because this comes down to us from the time of Chazal. It fell out of, what's the word I'm looking for? In vogue? Am I saying it right? I don't know. Yeah, okay. It fell out of favor. Now it's making a comeback. And he was looking at different interpretations and explanations as to why that happened. So I've given you some of a synopsis, okay? So I thought that was really very interesting. Yeshiva boys should have in mind the yeshiva supporters. Children, according to some, should recite this at their parents' table. Okay. Why am I bringing this to you in shiur, even though it is, I think it's also fascinating. Mansi said it's fascinating. It was an incredible topic. Never heard a shiur on this. That was extremely interesting. He said some people, you know, say it under their breath, but they end out loud, me'atavad olam. Some people say it quietly, some people say it out loud, some people don't say it at all, some people get everyone to be quiet. It was very interesting. Okay, he ended with an insight from Rav Kook. It's funny, he said he sent his source sheets, which I did not download, so I didn't see them. The source sheets begin with the Brisker Rav. who I believe he said was very makbar on this bracha. When they benched in his home, they would bring the Gemara and they would recite the text from the Gemara. So the brisk was very makbar. So his source sheets begin with the brisk Rav and end with Rav Avim Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. So he says he showed the shir to a friend, a fellow Rav, his shir notes, I guess for comments, or I'm not sure what. And the friend said, before I say anything else, any shir that begins with the brisk Rav and ends with Rav Avim Yitzchak HaKohen Cook is going to bring Mashiach. If we're in the same shir and we're going from there to here, we're going to bring Mashiach. So he said, halavai, halavai, this shir should bring Mashiach. Okay, he ended with a teaching from Rav Avim Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. And this whole introduction was why I'm bringing this to you, even though I think it's very fascinating. The Oreach gives the Baal HaBayis a blessing. The guest gives the host a blessing. The host should be successful in all of his acquiring and his business and his possessions and everything he amasses. Should be close to the city. The Satan should not rule. Should not have a hand. Excuse me. The Satan should not ruin our work. No, should not affect the work of his hands, the Oreach, the Baal Bayis, or the work of our hands. We shouldn't stumble with iniquity and thoughts of sin and iniquity and sin. Rav Cook Zatzal teaches, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook Zatzal teaches, every person represents the Baal Bayis and the Oreach. Every person is the Baal Bayis, and every person is the Oreach. I'm sorry. I don't have water down here. I'm sorry, excuse me, stop. Okay. Every person is the Baal Bayis and the Oreach. We're going to explain in a minute. In essence, the Oreach part of yourself, the guest part of yourself, is blessing the Baal HaBayis part of yourself. Okay, so he first told over the famous vignette. You all know the story. He said to the audience, you all know this, and I know this, and you all know this. The famous story of a visitor who came to Radin, and he saw the Chafetz Chaim's house, and the Chafetz Chaim lived in a small little shack, and he didn't have any possessions. So the man said to the Chafetz Chaim, where are your possessions? So the Chafetz Chaim, Zatzal, said, I'm just passing. No, I'm sorry. The man said to the Chafetz Chaim, where are your possessions? So the Chafetz Chaim said, where are your possessions? So the man said, I'm just passing through Radin. I don't have my possessions. So the Chafetz Chaim said, I'm also just passing through Radin. We're all just passing through this world. How important are our possessions to us? Remember, we all have an Avram, we all have a Lot. Vayikach es Lot, ve'es rechusho, ben achi Avraham. Chafetz Chaim said, I don't need possessions either. I'm just passing through the world, just like you're passing through. We all are a composite. We're all made up of contradictory elements to relate it to our Shir. We're all Avram and we're all Lot. We're all Moshe, we're all Paro. Moshe was what? Vanachnu ma. Kisalinu aleidu. Moshe said, we're nothing. Paro said, mi Hashem Hashrashma b'kol. Paro said, I'm everything. I don't know God. We all have the Ayin Ra of Bilam and the Ayin Tova of Aaron HaKohen. We all have the Oreach, and we all have the Baal, not in that order. We all have the Baal Bayis, the Oreach. The Baal Bayis utilizes, the Baal Bayis represents this world, Gashmius, the homeowner, the food on the table itself, the beautiful meal, the dishes, the parnasa. All that is represented by the Baal Bayis. The Oreach is an Hashem side of yourself, who recognizes we're just passing through. We're not here long term. How long does a man get? 70 years, says David HaMelech, Kapitel Tzadi. 80 years? 100 years? We're all passing through. We all have those dual aspects of Oreach, of Baal HaBayis, and Oreach within ourselves. So I thought that was fascinating. And I was thinking to myself, what does that mean? That the Oreach, the guest part of myself, the transitory part of myself, blesses the Baal HaBayis part of myself. The resident, I live in this world. That's the Baal Bais. This is my house. This is my table. This is my food. This is my parnasa. Along comes the Orech and says, I give you a bracha, Mr. Baal Bais, yourself. I give you a bracha. You shouldn't be embarrassed. You shouldn't stumble, not in this world, not in the next world. You should be successful in acquiring all your possessions and your business and our business. Nechaseinu. The Orech's talking to you. Mutzlachim, we should be successful together. Ukrovim le'ir, we shouldn't need to travel so far. Look what happened to Lo when he had to travel so far. The al yishlot satan, lo b'masa yada v'lo b'masa yadenu. The satan should help us realize that we're all passing through. So even though the Baal Bais, the homeowner, the table owner, the food owner, utilizes all of this gashmis, rechush, physicality, because that's how we have to live in this world. We have to eat, we have to shower, we have to go to work, we have to dress, we have to relieve ourselves, we have to do all of these things. But recognize the Oreach says what the purpose is for. Don't let the Satan, don't let the Yetzer Hara divert you from your purpose. Don't become so caught up in the metronome, in the shalshalas of life, that you forget where you're really headed. In the beginning, only the body is apparent. Excuse me. Only later the soul makes its appearance. But even once the soul makes its appearance, there are constant fluctuations in either direction. We advance and we regress. That's the shalshalas. You go one way, we go the other way. That's the Baal HaBayis and the Oreach. And we need to learn how to fuse these two aspects of ourselves in harmony so we can be successful Ovdei Hashem in this world. We need to learn how the Oreach, the visitor, the one who understands, what do you mean? I don't have possessions. I'm just passing through. But the Baal HaBayis says, I have a house full of possessions, a table full of possessions, a bank account full of possessions. I need my possessions. The Oreach says, I give you a bracha. You should always know what those possessions were. You just had a sumptuous meal and wine, a meat, and simcha al-babasar v'yayin. It was a geshmak of meal. It was wonderful. And you feel like a king at your table. Along comes the Oreach as Birkos HaMazon winds down to a close. And he says, don't let the Satan be in charge of your life. Don't let him grab your hand. Neither our hands, Masei Adeni. You know, it's very similar. Of Salvechik, it's a small blue book. Salvechik on Repentance, I think it's called. It's not Salvechik on Repentance. That's a big purple book. Salvechik on the Days of Awe. It's a thin little blue book by Aaron Lostick, I believe. By Lostick. So he says something very interesting about Tkiyah Shofar. And it's similar to this idea. Tkiyah Shofar, says of Salvechik, is a wake-up call between your two parts of yourself. There's the sinful part of yourself. And there's the sin-free part of yourself. And the shofar blast is the call of the pure side of yourself to arouse the sinful side of yourself. The shofar is a call within. Two sides of yourself talking to yourself. The Avram and the Lot, as they battle the shalshalas within you. The Baal HaBayis and the Oreach. The one who says, I'm entrenched in this world. And the one who says, I'm just passing through this world. The shofar, says the Rav, is the call. I think it's Salvechik on the Days of Awe. I don't remember. It's blue, thin little blue book. The shofar is the call of one part of yourself to your other part of yourself. You know the story, I've told it over before, of Levi Yitzchak of Berditcher, the great defender of the Jews. So every night he would make, I've told the story over many times, every night with Levi Yitzchak Berditcher would make a cheshbon nefesh, an accounting of the soul. And he would write down all the good things he did and then all the sinful things he did that day. And every day, at the end of the day, he would say, Levi Yitzchak, tomorrow I'm going to be better. He would look at all the sides of his failings that day. He would say, Levi Yitzchak, tomorrow you're going to be better. And the other part of itself, part of itself, said, Levi Yitzchak, you said that last night. And the other part of itself would answer back, but tonight I really mean it. And that shalshalas represents the uncertainty, the indecision, the difficulty we all have as the Oreach struggles with the Baal HaBayis. The Baal HaBayis represents the gashmistic side of ourselves. My house, my table, my food, my parnasa, my world, my kingdom, my castle. And the Oreach says, just a minute. You're just passing through. So even once the soul makes its appearance, there are constant fluctuations in either directions. We advance I want to leave Stone, but yes, Mama, I don't really want to leave Stone. I want to help Avram find the Shidduch. I really want the Shidduch. I don't want to be with the woman. It's a big sin. I really want to be with the woman. I could have been the Kohen, now I'm the Levi. So we should not stumble. We should not have iniquity. We shouldn't even have thoughts of sin or iniquity. May atav ad olam. And as you finish your meal, your very gashmiyistic activity, your balabayas, the Oreach comes along and says, don't forget, we're just passing through. All of this gashmiyus is to help us reach our goal in Rechnius, and then you've elevated everything on your table. But if it serves an end unto itself, then you become Ayikach eslot, the es rechusho, ben achi, Avram. Think of this the next time you say Birkas Hamazon. By the way, I don't think halachically you should give your own self the blessing, okay? Think if you're sitting at the table. Don't take a psak halacha from here. This is a very Kabbalistic type of thought of ha'aras, but it's just fascinating. The next time you're at a table and someone actually does say the Birkas Oreach, you'll have a much deeper insight into this. It is her yurtzai tomorrow night / Erev Shabbos Kodesh. May the neshama of Miriam, Frod, Miriam Baschaim Yitzhak, Allah Hashem, merit a continuous aliyah. Now that she is potter min a mitzvos, it is our tafkid to learn the zechenish masa and the liyunuish masa. And we thank her family very, very much. On behalf of all of you, I thank her family. I have the koach ha-mivarech, because I'm saying on behalf of all of you, that we thank her family tremendously for perpetuating the shir in her legacy and in her merit. Thank you so much, everybody. Besuas tova.